Chapter 2. Here's what the Encyclopedia Galactica has to say about alcohol. It says that alcohol is a colourless, volatile liquid formed by the fermentation of sugars, and also notes its intoxicating effect on certain carbon-based life forms. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy also mentions alcohol. It says that the best drink in existence is the Pan-Galactic Gargle Blaster. It says that the effect of drinking a Pan-Galactic Gargle Blaster is like having your brain smashed out by a slice of lemon wrapped around a large gold brick. The guide also tells you on which planets the best Pan-Galactic Gargle Blasters are mixed, how much you can expect to pay for one, and what voluntary organisations exist to help you rehabilitate afterwards. The guide even tells you how you can mix one yourself. Take the juice from one bottle of that old jank spirit, it says. Pour into it one measure of water from the seas of Santragenus V. Oh, that Santragenian seawater, it says. Oh, those Santragenian fish. Allow 3 cubes of Arcturan Megagin to melt into the mixture. It must be properly iced or the benzene is lost. Allow 4 litres of Thalian marsh gas to bubble through it, in memory of all those happy hikers who have died of pleasure in the marshes of Thalia. Over the back of a silver spoon, float a measure of Qualactin hypermint extract, redolent of all the heady odours of the dark Qualactin zones, subtle, sweet and mystic. Drop in the tooth of an Algolian sun tiger. Watch it dissolve, spreading the fires of the Algolian suns deep into the heart of the drink. Sprinkle zamphor. Add an olive. Drink, but very carefully. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy sells rather better than the Encyclopedia Galactica. 6 pints of bitter, said Ford Prefect to the barman of the Horse and Groom, off his shoulder. The world's about to end. The barman of the Horse and Groom didn't deserve this sort of treatment. He was a dignified old man. He pushed his glasses up his nose and blinked at Ford Prefect. Ford ignored him and stared out of the window, so the barman looked instead at Arthur, who shrugged helplessly and said nothing. So the barman said, "Oh, yes, sir, nice weather for it," and started pulling pints. He tried again. "Gonna watch the match this afternoon, then?" Ford glanced round at him. "No, no point," he said, and looked back out of the window. "What's that, a foregone conclusion, then, you reckon, sir?" said the barman. "Arsenal without a chance?" "No, no," said Ford, "it's just that the world's about to end." "Oh, yes, sir, so you said," said the barman, looking over his glasses, this time at Arthur. "Lucky escape for Arsenal, if it did." Ford looked back at him, genuinely surprised. "No, not really," he said. He frowned. The barman breathed in heavily. "There you are, sir, 6 pints, he said. Arthur smiled at him wanly and shrugged again. He turned and smiled wanly at the rest of the pub, just in case any of them had heard what was going on. None of them had, and none of them could understand what he was smiling at them for. A man sitting next to Ford at the bar looked at the 2 men, looked at the 6 pints, did a swift burst of mental arithmetic, arrived at an answer he liked, and grinned a stupid, hopeful grin at them. "Get off," said Ford, "they're ours," giving him a look that would have made an Algolian sun tiger get on with what it was doing. Ford slapped a £10 note on the bar. He said, "Keep the change." "What, from a tenner? Thank you, sir. You've got 10 minutes left to spend it." The barman decided simply to walk away for a bit. "Ford," said Arthur, "would you please tell me what the hell is going on?" "Drink up," said Ford, "you've got 3 pints to get through." "3 pints?" said Arthur, "at lunchtime?" The man next to Ford grinned and nodded happily. Ford ignored him. He said, "Time is an illusion. Lunchtime doubly so." "Oh, very deep," said Arthur. "You should send that into the Reader's Digest. They've got a page for people like you." "Drink up." "Why 3 pints all of a sudden?" "Muscle relaxant. You'll need it." "Muscle relaxant?" "A muscle relaxant." Arthur stared into his beer. "Did I do anything wrong today?" he said. "Why has the world always been like this, and I've been too wrapped up in myself to notice?" "All right," said Ford, "I'll try to explain. Now, how long have we known each other?" "How long?" Arthur thought. "About 5 years, maybe 6. Most of it seemed to make some kind of sense at the time." All right, said Ford. How would you react if I said that I'm not from Guildford after all, but from a small planet somewhere in the vicinity of Betelgeuse? Arthur shrugged in a so-so sort of way. I don't know, he said, taking a pull of beer. Why, do you think it's the sort of thing you're likely to say? Ford gave up. It really wasn't worth bothering at the moment, what with the world being about to end. He just said, drink up. He added, perfectly factually, the world's about to end. Arthur gave the rest of the pub another wan smile. The rest of the pub frowned at him. A man waved at him to stop smiling at them and mind his own business. This must be Thursday, said Arthur to himself, sinking low over his beer. I never could get the hang of Thursdays.